The fire may not open, but the devil will return. Insanity or glory in a mind that never learns. A moment of something where the dark can
Site. I'm your host, Jeremy, from Kentucky on Republic Broadcasting Network. Please go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash the donate, send the fundage. You can mail your check or money order payable to RBN. Send that to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Call in that debit or credit card to 1-800-724-2719 extension 3, and I will be taking donations as well only after you have donated to RBN. I'm rebuilding my work truck. There'll be a GoFundMe on the show description. There'll be a new Cash App address. I've changed Cash Apps, but I haven't really got anything on that, but it'll be there if you need it. Or if you want to send me a check or money order, you can contact me at Patrick and just Patrick and Jeremy Show at yahoo.com. Not the Patrick, but Patrick and Jeremy Show at yahoo.com. Trying to avoid taking on a night job and affecting the broadcast as I get my truck rebuilt and get fundage in to get into the busy spring season as I do contract work for farmers, me and T. So please donate. Thank you to all of you generous listeners that have donated thus far. It's been much appreciated. Also want to upgrade the equipment so that I sound a little bit better. So maybe we can get enough fundage and do that. This is your Monday night broadcast where I run down the news and I take your calls live on your Monday night drive, 512-248-8252, if you want to weigh in. Many headlines in the prep. Some of them I may get to and maybe not others. Before we do the full-on rundown, I guess I'll cover the Atlanta riots. I was just catching up on this. I was a little bit out in Rio Rhinelander here on it. But let's start with the Guardian. Headline reads, assassinated in cold blood, activists killed protesting Georgia's Cop City. I'm not exactly going to agree with the cold blood part. This Greenpeace-looking dude fired on state troopers first. Manuel Esteban Paez Terron. He opposed this training facility that is being built near Atlanta. It's in a wooded area near Atlanta, Georgia, and apparently he was capped out there. He's been protesting for a while, and he's considered an environmental protester. Tehran, this environmentalist, Hispanic-looking dude, shot at police officers first when they were trying to clear him out of the area. I guess they're building this huge training facilities for cops and firefighters. The killing has stunned and shocked not only Tortuguita's family and friends, but also the environmental and social justice movement in Georgia across the United States. circumstances surrounding the incident are still unclear, and there are demands for a thorough investigation into the killing and how it could have happened. The police found Manuel in a tent in the South River Forest, southeast of Atlanta. He was taking part in a protest, which is now in its second year, stand corrected, against a plan to build a $90 million police and fire department training facility on the land. Officials say Manuel shot first at a state trooper without warning, and officers returned fire. But they have produced no evidence for the claim. So it's going to be his word against. I'm wondering about body cam footage, if there's any of that, is what I'm wondering. Anyway, the officer is in stable condition at the hospital as of Thursday. The shooting is unprecedented in the history of U.S. environmental activism, according to experts. Well, this is a case of, I mean, you're a dude protesting some environmental cop stuff. You know, you want to play dangerous games, you're going to win dangerous prizes. And shooting at armed officers is a dangerous game. Sometimes I take the side of the police. A lot of times not. It just depends on where and what the circumstances are. But I mean, you know, like I said, you're camping out on this place. You're trying to get cleared off. You shoot at these cops. I mean, they're going to shoot you. Like, you should know that, whether you're in the right or wrong. This, however, sparked a series of violent protests. They called them mostly peaceful at first and then turned violent. Reuters covered this. Police moved on the marchers. Now, this was a headline here from Reuters. Atlanta protest against shooting death of an activist briefly turns violent. I'm looking at the pictures here. It looks like a lot of violence. Cop crews on fire. Protests in Atlanta turned violent on Saturday as demonstrators set a police car on fire and smashed windows of buildings. Marchers had gathered to protest the killing of an activist by law enforcement on Wednesday during a raid to clear a construction site. It says here the demonstration started peacefully and then abruptly escalated, with some protesters throwing fireworks and rocks and smashing buildings' windows with their hammers. Police moved on the marchers. Demonstrators were protesting an incident that occurred on Wednesday where, as we mentioned before, Manuel Turan, 26 years old, was inside a tent, did not comply with officers' verbal commands, and he shot at the officers and they returned fire. So the people that were arrested, the next one here is from Fox 5, Atlanta. Downtown Atlanta riots, police release names and photos and charges of six people arrested. And it names the people here, like, let's see, five of them were Zoomers, and the sixth one was a millennial, males and females. They were charged with four misdemeanors and four felonies. Misdemeanor charges included rioting, pedestrian in a roadway, willful obstruction of law enforcement officers, and unlawful assembly. The felony charges include second-degree criminal damage, first-degree arson, and interference with government property and domestic terrorism. That's one that's thrown around, but I mean, I guess if you're setting stuff on fire and shooting at cops, that I guess you could call that domestic terrorism. Terrorism being defined as using acts of terror to advance a political movement. And these people were environmentalists, so I guess that fits. It's got the photos of them here, and they all look like a bunch of hippies. In a statement posted Monday morning on Twitter, Georgia Governor Brian Kemp noted the fact that most of those arrested were from out of state. How many other times have we heard that? Rings of Antifa, does it not? It says law enforcement broke down on them. Let's see. More than 24 hours after the violent protest was broken up, storefront windows are still boarded up along Peachtree Street. Three businesses were targeted and damaged when rioters threw bricks and rocks. shattering windows. I wonder where the bricks came from. You think they put pallets there? Just asking for a friend. They're saying this is domestic terrorism. I'm just browsing through the article, so I'm to read it verbatim. Mayor Andre Dickens and Atlanta Police Chief Sherbaum said that city officials will continue to look for anyone involved in the violence. And he says the message to them will be that they will find you and arrest you. I guess they're trying to declare these people domestic terrorists. They were all white looking. A couple of them may have been Hispanic looking. The dude that was shot, Manuel, he definitely looked Hispanic. So this is a very interesting thing. It seemingly didn't have anything to do with black getting killed. But this Hispanic looking environmentalist activist. So this thing would be the tree huggers against the cops. But yeah, the fact that they were out of town, there were bricks there. They're doing a domestic terrorist charge. That's interesting to me. Makes me wonder what they're setting us up for, because it does sort of seem like a setup. It just seems like kind of fake to me. I'm not going down the road of everything's fake. I'm just saying, like, this really rings of the George Floyd BLM riots, Antifa and BLM, where every city they showed up in, there were like pallets of bricks and people from out of state being bussed in. That's what it smacks of to me. More to come on this. I would value your opinion if you want to call in and let me know what you think on this. I really don't know what to make of it. Other than I think it was some sort of a, definitely Antifa, definitely some sort of a setup bringing people in from out of state to clash against the cops and make white people look bad. That's where I'm at with it right now. I could change. Just hitting the headlines, because some of these articles I'll be able to get into and some of them not. Republicans introduced new laws to stop the sexual liberation of kids. So I guess you got many states where legislatures, just like in Kentucky and Tennessee, are enacting laws to protect children from being transified. So you got that going on. Definitely you have an instance there in the state. States going against the federal government, because the federal government wants all children to be able to have, you know, sex changes and puberty blockers and cut their tits off and all that. Next article. This is interesting. A UK cop says that a 60-year-old dressed as a schoolgirl can loiter around a primary school. This was really gross. The 60-year-old boomer with like pigtails hanging out with the little girls. They said that he can do that. He can stay there and you can't discriminate against him. This is in the UK. Not surprising at all. In contrast to that, in the UK, you have a Christian person fined for silently praying outside of a baby killing facility, outside of an abortion clinic. So this man had driven his girlfriend in the UK to get an abortion maybe a year or two ago, and he felt bad about it, and I guess he's converted to Christianity, supposedly. And so now he's outside of the abortion clinic praying for not only the soul of his murdered baby, but of all other babies that would be murdered there. And simply because he was praying, and actually it was silently. It's not like this dude was doing a whole, you know, like James Brown Blues Brothers thing where he's like singing out the prayer and calling down like, power of God on the facility. No, this was like silent praying. But the police asked him what he was doing. He said he was praying. And so they arrested him. They said that's not allowed because, you know, in the UK, I guess they have something about they don't have a First Amendment there. People can't just pray outside of a facility or peacefully protest. You really can't do that in America either, because you remember the incidences of two Catholic protesters outside of abortion clinics. Now, one of them did get into a shoving contest with a pro-abortion protester, and so they charged him with a federal crime, obstructing a clinic for women's rights. It's called the FACE Act. So, I mean, in America, we have the First Amendment, but they have many ways to get around that. So, apparently, if you protest in front of an abortion clinic, even in America, you could be charged with obstructing the entrance to that facility. You're obstructing the reproductive rights of hoes that want to murder their babies. That's what I'm making of it. And going on down the headlines, the gay couple that, and this is kind of old news, but I guess they're actually getting prosecuted. These young men, gay men that adopted two young boys that were like grade school age. Laughs. How progressive, right? Like, how brave of them, to do so and be so open. But they were not only molesting the boys, but they were also making porno movies and pics of them. And one of the gay husbands that was one of the adoptive people was busted downloading child porn, so they raided his house, and that's how they found out about these guys. Surprise, surprise, gay men adopt little boys and molest them. How shocked we are. That seems to be the trend, whether it's gay adoption or whether it's child trannyism. I think the next barrier to be broken down is that they're going to legitimize pedophilia in some way. Because, I mean, we've mentioned this before on the show, it's ad nauseum. If a child at, 10 or 9 or whatever, if a minor can choose their sex, if they can choose whether they're a boy or girl and indeed get a sex change, certainly then the next logical step that these progressives would say is that they could choose to have sexual relations with adults if they want to. You see this in the case of Desmond is amazing. Be careful Googling that one. You'll see some disturbing images that you'll never get rid of. But Desmond was he was 9 or 10. And he was tweaking in some Daisy Dukes at a gay pride parade. And it went viral, so he sort of became the poster child for the literal poster tranny child for child trannyism. And the young boy, even at 11, 12 years old, was invited to gay bars to tweak and dance for faggots that would, generously throw money at him. That's hard to even imagine, but it's going down. You reverse that. I mean, you couldn't hardly picture a 12-year-old girl being invited to a heterosexual strip club and stripping for heterosexual men who threw dollars at her. That's beyond, of course, that's horrible and wrong, but I'm just using that as an example to say, they would never approve of that. So why this? And that's because the faggotization of our children and the breakdown of the barriers where pedophilia is indeed embraced, that is the next step. This, as we're on the brink of World War III with Russia and China, we deserve whatever judgment comes down on us, and God will judge this country. I have no doubt about that. Coming up on the break rapidly. I mean, we've got to be seconds away. And I want to hit some more headlines and read through some more articles with you. Please call in and let me know what you think.
And I'm alone. Skin, yeah, chill me to the bone.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and 5 easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, Sierra Madre Precious Metals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Back to your Monday night edition of Endpoint Insight. Martini and cigarettes edition running down the news, and it does help to have a good martini buzz to be able to get through some of these headlines. I wanted to focus on the one during the short segment here before we move on, of the gay couple in Atlanta charged with molesting their adopted sons. I mean, like, this is just one instance. News.com.au. And, you know, you can actually look it up online, and it's covered in many other news outlets. So a gay couple has been charged with molesting their two adopted sons and pimping them out to members of a local pedophile ring. I want you to wrap your mind with pimping them out. All right. A U.S. gay couple has been charged with molesting their adopted sons, using them to record child porn, according to a new disturbing report. The pair also allegedly pimped them out to members of a local pedophile ring. A months-long investigation by Town Hall revealed that William Dale Zulock, 33, and Zachary Jacob Zulock, 35, allegedly used social media to prostitute their young sons, New York Post reports. William Zulock, all right, a government worker, and Zachary Zulock, a banker. A government worker and a banker. How many times have we seen that one? Were indicted in August of 2022 on charges of incest, aggravated sodomy, aggravated child molestation, felony sexual exploitation of children, and felony prostitution of a minor. The shocking investigation reveals in more detail the sickening abuse that the boys suffered. It was revealed for the first time that the men allegedly pimped out their older sons, now 11 and 9 years old, to two other men in a pedophile ring. One of the men, Hunter Clay Lawless, 27, told investigators that Zachary, whose Instagram describes him as Papa to our wonderful two boys, and he was an activist, of course, invited him multiple times to take part in sexually abusing the boys. Lawless claimed that he never had physical contact with the child. He claimed that Zachary sent him multiple messages on Snapchat, including one that allegedly read, "I'm going to F my son tonight, stand by," along with images of himself sexually abusing the 11-year-old, according to the outlet. On, what was that, Snapchat? Snapchat kind of became famous with the Zoomers, because you could send like illicit pictures and they supposedly disappeared. Thus the name Snapchat. And it was basically like, instead of posting like your picture and a big long message like under it, it's just like literally it's a snap in time. It's like a picture of what you're doing at the moment. And the young kids like it. Maybe they're cooking burgers at their job, or doing burnouts in their four-wheel drives in the parking lot or something like that. That's what our kids do. That's normal stuff. But then you get this abnormal crap. But one thing that I wanted to comment on here is, like, think about how the FBI wants to crack down on people who advocate for pro-white causes or people that talk out against Jewish power. Right? Think about how that, think about the newest legislation that they're trying to push in the U.S. Against anyone that would post something that would be white supremacist or would cause, someone to do violence in the name of white supremacy. Think about that. Think about how they're trying to crack down on even people like us on IBN that would just expose these faggots, that would expose the degenerates that are bringing our society down. They're wanting to crack down on us. And you got people like these two gay men out there doing this openly on social media. I mean, I don't know a lot about Snapchat, but I mean, you can't do stuff like this on social media online without getting noticed. I mean, they're pretty bold with this. If you've got a Tor browser and a VPN, I mean, that's how people usually do illegal things on the web. Child porn, human trafficking, hiring assassins, you get a VPN and a Tor. I mean, that's just the way it's been. But like, these guys were openly doing this on Snapchat. But yet our FBI and our so-called government is wanting to crack down on people like us that would expose this degeneracy. It boggles the mind. Soliciting prostitution with a boy, and then it goes to show their pictures. And I mean, these two fags, I mean, they look kind of normal. I mean, they don't look like that they would be involved in anything like this. They're clean cut, and seem like they're well dressed and shaven, and they don't have like gauges or face tattoos or blue hair or anything like that. So, I mean, you know, the degenerates are all around us and amongst us. I mean, they look like normal people. Anyway, I hated to cover that, but it's something that we need to do. It's something out there that's going on. Hey, back on the other side, we're up in the break, and more headlines on In Plain Sight.
Listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news. Real talk. Real people, because you can handle the truth.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Carrie: great product, and I will continue to use. I've been taking it for over a year now. I'm 60 and feel great. I would highly recommend this product to anyone over the age of 40. Amazon customer, 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. Extendivite has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Great product. I use regularly, and I rarely get sick. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Memory, your lifeline is burning holes. Recover. Bring it all home. Follow the breeze, just like a summer song. And stay there forever. I try to remember. Come home. Memory, you gave me another note. I must have.
Back to In Plain Sight, your rundown of the news. Let's move on to this. Let's see, what is this? New ATF regulations, KTBS, ABC3 News. A new ATF regulation has gun owners scrambling to understand and quote and comma comply. Now, I've got this in conjunction with another article where sheriffs in Arkansas are refusing to enforce this. So let me see if we can read through this and understand what's going on, because I've never really delved into it. Bossier City, Louisiana. A new regulation by the ATF is forcing some gun owners to make changes. The ATF posted the rule on its website Friday, and it comes with 120 days of amnesty to come into compliance. The issue is a subtle one, but is causing concern among firearms owners in the Arkansas and across the country. That's Arkansas, Louisiana, Texas borders, by the way, for those of you out here. It involves what are sometimes called short-barreled rifles or pistols, which is rifles with barrels less than 16 inches long. They're fitted with an arm brace instead of a buckstock. Okay. KTBS3 News talked with Bossier City's DAVTAC owner, Lee Daville, who said many of his customers are coming in with concerns about how to comply with the regulation. Now they're saying that the braces are no longer legal. So the stock on a 16-inch barrel is fine, always has been. The brace on a pistol less than 16 inches is now what is not legal. So, I mean, I have no use for this, but I guess that's a thing to have an arm brace on a pistol. I think I saw that in a Clint Eastwood movie. Pretty sure it was Magnum Force. DevHill estimates there are millions of these types of configurations on firearms out there. The ATF compliance window means registering the braces with the ATF. There's paperwork involved. DevHill says he is currently helping customers get all that done. Let's see. At the end of the 120-day amnesty, firearms owners will be forced to purchase a $200 stamp from the ATF. There's been a good deal of pushback on the new regulation. In Congress, some Republicans have proposed bills to override it. Locally, a state representative, Danny McCormick, called it unconstitutional and said he vows to fight it. So I wanted to cover that article in conjunction with this one. Local sheriffs push back against new gun regulations. This is in Arkansas. This is from THV11.com. Arkansas sheriffs push back on new ATF gun policy. Those who use a brace stabilizer will have to register their weapons with the government. So, again, a brace stabilizer seems to be on a weapon with a less than a 16-inch barrel. You have a brace coming off the handle that goes into the elbow of your arm, into the inner elbow. That's what it looks like to me. If you're a gun person, you can call in and tell me otherwise, or you can elaborate. Little Rock, Arkansas. Multiple Arkansas sheriff's officers are pushing back against a new gun policy from the Federal Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and Explosives. The new federal rule states that those who use a brace stabilizer attachment will have to register their weapons with the government. Oh, by the way, remember I covered an article last year, early in the fall, that Missouri sheriffs were pushing back against the federal government. The federal government wanted all of their concealed carry civilians to register with the federal government. All of the Missouri sheriffs said we're not going to do it. And I haven't heard anything else on that. I might try to pull an article up on that here in a minute to see if there's any follow-up. But this is a good example of how your local sheriff should be, under the Constitution, pushing back. I mean, you have the right to own firearms, and it doesn't state what kind. You should have the equivalent firearms of your local National Guard or military. I mean, the whole purpose of the Second Amendment, at the risk of Fed busting here, is to deter a tyrannical government. So, I mean, there should be no registration. There should be no. You should be able to own any weapon you want. And I would agree. I'm cool with, if you're a felon, if you're a violent person, maybe you have some restrictions. But I mean, like, define violent person. So, like, if you were arrested at Charlottesville for protesting, or if you were arrested at January 6th, I mean, you know, then they could say that you're a violent person. So, I mean, the language here can be very Orwellian, and they can use it for whatever purposes. Red flag laws. I'm totally against red flag laws. I mean, sure, there are people that are legit crazy, but I mean, that's few and far between. I think the majority of people that legally own firearms are good American patriots, and they just want to defend their families. They're not even thinking about, like, going against the federal government. They're just thinking about home defense. And, you know, what if a mob of burglars attack them? I think that's their mindset. But at any rate, this is definitely an example of the federal government trying to come down and interfere with the rights of states. And we got a message from Mike. Let me read this because it could be important. Oh, we got Kathleen from Texas. having a hard time hearing me. Does Kathleen want to come on the air? Bring her on if she wants.
Hey, Jeremy.
Hey.
I always look forward to your Monday show. I remember long ago you had the terrible muffled sound, and then you got this fabulous headset that you said was very inexpensive at Walmart, and you sounded fabulous. Well, tonight, what I'd like you to do is when you finish, that you listen to the show, because it's indecipherable. So I just want you to know that, and I'm sorry to say that, but it's incomprehensible.
Oh, well, thanks for the feedback. Usually Mike gives me a heads up if I've got a bad connection. I've had internet issues in the last 2 weeks, so there might be something there.
If you listen to the show, you'll hear what we hear.
Well, this is Mike here in the control room. I was trying to tell Kathleen, she listens via the phone lines, the phone listen lines, and that's a whole other system that may or may not have problems. So there may just be some, like, a little bit of an issue with the particular quality of your connection, Jeremy. But Kathleen, can you hear him clearly right now when he's talking to you? No?
Terrible.
Okay. Well, that's what I'm
saying. The best thing to do, Jeremy, if you want to know how you sound, listen to the show, and then you'll see. You'll hear.
You know, that is the archive recordings. I mean, they will be processed and probably clearer than what you're hearing, Kathleen. Unfortunately, I know the signal is a little weird with Jeremy tonight, but it shouldn't be inaudible. I think that's just when you're listening via the phone listen line, it goes through several other systems, so that may be the
main
problem.
All I know is that I've been listening all day, and it's been great, and the sound is horrible, so I just wanted you to know.
Patrick just messaged me. He usually listens online, like on the live stream, and he says it sounds good. But, like, I want to sound good for everyone, like, especially even the people that listen on the phone. So I will like to try to upgrade my system. That's why I'm taking donations. I'm trying to get to a better sound.
Well, I've heard you every Monday, and you always sound great. So this is different tonight.
Well, thanks for the feedback. Yeah, I want to sound good for everyone. So thanks for that. I'll try to upgrade my equipment and get those headsets back. They're gone. That's a long story. But anyway, we have...
I really appreciate your content when I can hear it. All right, you take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We got Matilda up next. Matilda in Ohio. How's it coming through?
Excuse me?
I said, are you hearing me okay, Matilda?
Yeah, I hear you just fine.
What's on your mind?
Well, I can talk about any subject you want to talk about. I'd like to address the gun control thing. You know why they're doing this, don't you? They're ramping it up piece by piece because they want to take away all our guns because they're getting ready to do something that makes us want to shoot them.
I would have to agree with you. I think that's their fear. I think that normal, like, law-abiding Americans, I don't think they're even thinking about that. They're not even thinking about, like, having a firefight with the government. They just want to have, like, plenty of weapons. Like, honestly, I think a lot of normal Americans are wanting to defend themselves against, like, rioters that come to their town after the 2020.
Well, who do you think is supplying the money for the rioters?
Well, it is the Jewish-dominated establishment under various different organizations. I mean, Antifa and BLM, I mean, we talked about the bricks.
Who do you think is giving them their money?
Well, I know George Soros comes to mind. He's a Jewish oligarch. But there's many others behind him. He's probably just the face. He's probably just the figurehead. But, I mean, what we do know is that Antifa and BLM are basically the shock troops or the foot soldiers of the federal government, which is Jewish-dominated. And they fear...
It's funny. They basically show up about, every 2 to 4 years, you know, like clockwork.
Yeah, they fear law-abiding white Americans. And to be fair, because I know we have some listeners that are black and, you know, of mixed race, they fear anybody, no matter your color, that's law-abiding, that wants to push back on this. And
they're out to get us hardworking Americans, Afro-Americans, regular Americans, you know, everybody. They don't care.
It's like a neurosis, and they feel that they have to come down on us to stop some sort of uprising that really isn't happening. I mean, look how far they pushed us in 2020 with COVID and BLM and Antifa. You didn't really have uprisings. I mean, you had, a few people fighting back in the streets.
It's their way of, trying to, hurt us or get us out of their little equation.
Well, here's my question. Are they trying to inspire an uprising? Are they wanting us to take up arms and try to...
Oh, yeah, they'd like to see a civil war.
Yeah,
the only thing is, I don't think they're going to like the result. They figure if they keep us all, if they keep, separating us more and more, that they can win. We got to understand, we got to come together. It's not us against, whites against blacks. No, we need to be working together against the bureaucrats in Washington. They're the ones that are trying to tear us all apart so they can exterminate us all easily.
I would agree with the basic premise of that. I will, however, I want to add a caveat. I want to add a little thing. It is important for white people to come together, not to be against blacks per se, but to be for each other, because there is an anti-white narrative happening now. And I think it really is important that we politically come together.
Martin Luther King Jr., he's spinning in his grave right now like a top.
Because
everything that he was standing for, they have turned it on its head.
Well, with all due respect, Matilda, I'm pretty, Martin Luther King Jr. was a communist. He was kind of funded by the system, and when he turned against them just a little bit, or when he stepped out of line, I think they had him shot because he stepped out of line a little bit, and also because it made him a martyr, and it really ignited the civil rights movement in the 60s, which led us to kind of the anti-white hatred that we have now. I mean, that's my take on it. I would be more for supporting black leaders like Jesse Lee Peterson, who encourages the black community to take responsibility for their actions, to not abandon their children, for black men to, work and be respectable citizens. I would more think that Jesse Lee Peterson and people like him are better leaders of the black community than MLK. But
well, the way Martin Luther, he said, do not judge a person or judge a person by their character, not the color of their skin. That they have turned that completely around. Yeah, they're judging the white people because of the color of their skin or the lack of color in their skin. It's the exact opposite of what Martin Luther was saying.
Well, what's ironic about that is that because of the civil rights movement, you had a breakdown in the black community of families. You had a breakdown and you had an increase in crime in the black community. It's, it's an old meme, but it checks out. You know, 7% of the black males are 7% of the U.S. population, and they commit over 50% of the violent crime. I think that was a result of not only the civil rights movement, but of Jewish domination of the media and the promotion of gangster rap and all of these things that really destroy the black community. But hey, we're up on the break, Matilda. I appreciate your call, and I'm with you like 80%.
Well, it's nice to know someone, you know, I have a kindred spirit with me.
Thanks a lot, Matilda. We'll be back on the other side of the break with the final segment of Inside.
Way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show. Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With the Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream, or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
Okay, we're back. Final segment of In Plain Sight. I wanted to touch on this WKMS article, WKMS.org. It's where I listen to all my classical music in the morning, and they give a lot of good Kentucky news and in the region of Tennessee as well. They're a little bit liberal in their reporting, but in this headline, Kentucky Republicans who dominate the legislature are demanding that Governor Beshear, Democrat, they're demanding that he release records of anyone that he was in contact with during the COVID lockdowns that caused them to shut down schools. And they're basically saying that students in Kentucky are suffering greatly from the shutdown, and the test scores and all of the data are pointing to this. And so they're, they're wanting Beshear to be accountable as to, he was given a lot of power. So basically between 2020 and 2021, he had almost unlimited power to shut schools down and order that schools do distance learning, shut businesses down. And so they want records released from his office that will detail who he talked with and why he thought this was a good idea. And this up on the year that Beshear is up for re-election, and you have over 12 Republicans vying to unseat him. One amongst whom is Daniel Cameron, our based black guy that's the Attorney General of Kentucky. Cameron is running for governor, so he recused himself in this because Beshear's office refused to release the records to the GOP legislature. And so this goes to the Attorney General, which will make a decision. What Beshear is saying, he's accusing the GOP in Kentucky of trying to undermine his reelection by wanting all of these records released. And the GOP is like, look, you got to be accountable for what you've done when you had all power under emergency power acts of the state. And all of these students that are suffering, just getting into one of the paragraphs of the article, the pandemic caused learning setbacks for many school children. Now, I would correct that and say the response to the pandemic caused learning setbacks. Test scores released last fall showed that fewer than half of Kentucky students tested were at reading grade level, fewer than half. Even lower across the board scores were posted in math, science, and social studies. Now, the article goes on to say that the performance of Kentucky students was part of a much larger trend of sharp declines in math and reading scores across the country as a result of the pandemic. Again, the response to the pandemic, because we've never shut schools down in the past over the flu. We just tell them to come back to school when they get well. Anyway, hey, we'll be back tomorrow night with the Dynamic Duo, so you guys stay classy and have a great Monday night.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste by going to rbnhemppaste.com. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.